Well, if you think about, you step back and you think, okay, the entire world's being digitized. So, I mean, like cashless is just one piece of digitizing everything. But if you think about it from that perspective, so that like a small group of people, whether you want to call them government or establishment or deep state, whatever, they essentially can see and manage, identify everything, associate everything. There's an enormous amount of data. I mean, there's just data centers full of information that need to be processed. So effectively, we've got to the point in our history of evolution where we can't really manage. You can't really have layers and layers of management of people that can handle this kind of information. So what we're left with is that we're gonna, from establishment's perspective, they need to use a huge amount of AI to dig through all this information and essentially replace some of the layers of management of people with AI. And so, crypto is really just part of the digitization of things. But the AI is really important to remove those layers and effectively be able to manage this amount of, transactionality in the world, all the data feeds and whatnot. And in fact, actually, if you look at if you look at what really blockchain and cryptos tend to really be effective at right now, it's generally replacing people. This is the interesting thing. Cryptos have not been a good currency, not for volatility, not for the fact that a lot of people don't have them. But they haven't been all that good for that. But blockchain and smart contracts in specific, which are just a small piece of software that runs on the blockchain, is really good for essentially all the middle layers of paper pushing in the world, essentially replacing that paper pushing in human terms with a computer and a piece of software running.
It's going to be very disruptive. There are some positives that I want to bring out, and that's like in the third world where they don't have access to banking. They don't. It gives them access to banking. These little devices and stuff where they didn't have that before. So there are some super good benefits for a huge part of the market that is underserved by banking in general.
At least there's the potential for it. Here, an
There's a
interesting thing was
potential for it, and it maybe it's marketing propaganda
yeah,
BS.
there's a
Maybe.
lot of that. And even as of last year, into this year, I was reading through some of the papers from the global organizations, IMF and World Bank, and all these kind of think tanks, and they have a huge focus on some on China, but a lot of on Africa, and the code word that they use is the unbanked.
Yes,
Okay, and I'm
that's
going
what
to
I'm
translate
talking
for
about.
you. The unbanked means the unidentified. So there are a lot of people, for
Oh,
example,
you like gave me another. Okay, go keep going.
it's there are a lot of people, like let's say there's a billion people not in what I call the ID matrix, right? They're running around with, more primitive economies, and maybe they're happy actually that doing
They're
that.
probably happier. Now we got to get them ID'd
Yeah.
and tracked.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's exactly right. So the papers, they're fluff pieces, and here's how they all go. Okay, there's some fluffery around the unbanked and the new economy and removing po or eliminating poverty. And then it goes into the, well, we're gonna need biometrics and iris scan and fingerprints and and then more. And we got to get them identified, and trackability. And then some more fluff. So the real core of it is just getting those people in the identity and digitization mode of, or the phase of this evolution of technology. And the look, if you really want to eliminate poverty, you would go into country and help them just create their own digital currency that actually works for people, and then get the hell out,
Yeah,
right?
you're
But
not there to track everything there.
yeah.
You give them the freedom and give them the
Yeah.
tools to create a free market and get the hell out.
Yeah, I mean, what you would not want to do is go, here's some digital stuff, and by the way, behind it is a bunch of debt. We're gonna,
Exactly.
you
And
pay
then we're going
somebody
to track everything you do, and we're
Yeah.
going to track your retina and when you go to the bathroom and
Absolutely. Yeah, biometrics. I mean, even on the smartphone, it was a while ago, a big bank for this was a bank with the elite customers was even doing this. they had it's I'm sure it's already on smartphones across the board now, but they were doing behavioral biometrics. And so the way that works is, imagine, you know, your smartphone has a essentially a kind of ability to sense like a gyroscopic, essentially its orientation, the, you know, the orientation with north and south, but as well as all the different axes. And then, you know, has momentum center sensors and all kinds of stuff, right? Well, if you were to take all of those along with people's typing habits, like the way you scroll, the how hard you hit, the frequency between how you tap, you know, all the different patterns that you as an individual have combined with all the orientation of the phone, if you mix all that together, you get behavioral biometrics. And essentially, they allow that as an extra part of the authentication process, along with putting in a PIN or your private keys for crypto, whatever, you help to authenticate in to make sure it's you. And that could be a good thing, right? If that prevents loss or theft or whatever, or fraud. But it's also like, if it's running on your phone all the time, then, wow, what an amazing amount of data that the sensors are relaying somewhere else, you know, and being tracked along with all the other stuff you do. It's just how you do it and how you operate and, you know, how you, like if your website, you know, where's your eyeballs right on the page and, you know, how long do you spend on this? It's just, it's crazy the amount of information. That's what the AI is. You can see, like, the more you think about the amount of data that has to be managed in order to manage people, there's going to have to be an enormous amount of AI because humans are not going to be able to sort through this and effectively be able to, manage society in the way that the current establishment likes it.
Well, they'll have your AI or your DNA record either through your eye or whatever kind of scan, and they'll know what computer you're on. They'll have you totally tracked.
Yeah, well, you know, even in your PC, you don't really think about it. Like, you probably think hope this software is clean, but, you know, the processor in there has remote execution engine, which is great if you're a corporate America and you want to lowjack a notebook's been stolen and you want to turn it off remotely or whatever, and that could be a good feature, but it also could be a bad feature because what else is going on in there? So like you don't even own your own PC, you know, somebody else could flip on even when it's in sleep mode, or you might think it's powered off, your notebook, someone could flip it on through an internet packet and, you know, away you go.
You know, the internet, people are talking about there being an on-off switch, and I always say there isn't an on, not unless you mess around with all the electronics everywhere, or there's some kind of virus or something, because people are getting confused thinking there's just an on-off switch with the internet. There isn't. There could be a large virus, or there could be an electronic outage, or there could be some kind of weird thing, but can you explain that, what your view is on that?
There wouldn't be one on-off switch, but you know, you got to imagine that the main router hubs in the world for the internet, you know, they have taps essentially that bleed off packets so that intelligence agency can read them. But the question is, what else do they have, right?
I have a few more great gift ideas from Patriot Supply. One of the most important survival tools of all time, this incredibly lightweight sleeping bag has the power to protect you from the number one killer in a crisis, exposure to elements. This emergency bag also reflects 90% of your body heat back to you thanks to its durable space-age material. This ingenious device helps you keep practically anyone warm and dry in bad weather. Next, I have this designer knife, and it's normally quite expensive. Thanks to Patriot's liquidation sales going for as little as $19.99, it has a thick and sturdy 3.6 half serrated high carbon stainless steel blade. It's incredibly sharp and will cut through anything you put in its path. It features a dual-sided thumb stud for easy, lightning quick one-handed opening. This impressive blade is over-engineered so you can treat it like dirt and never once worry it's gonna fail on you. This knife feels like an extension of your own hand. Plus, its rubberized grip stays sticky when it rains, keeping it firmly locked in your hand. These are great gift ideas. Look for the links below.
Well, it would have to be a hack job into the servers, and maybe they have arranged it, but it's a very decent, the internet's really decentralized. So it would have to be, and there's a lot of private dark networks everywhere. So it would have to be some kind of viral or electric attack somehow.
Well, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of components here. I mean, even, you know, if you've got a cable box or a router on, and thereafter, you know, home router, those things could be owned. Your PC's got remote execution. The main hubs are the internet. And then if you go to the power system, well, you know, we're not in good shape with our power grid, right? And then, you know, who knows what kind of software is driving that?
Well, that's a hack job. I mean, it'd be a viral hack job where you go in and you hack all the different decentralized, but then you would be doing some kind of electric, it'd be like taking down the electric grid. It's not an on-off switch in the way that people think of on-off switch. It's a...
No, it'd be a...
It's a mass attack.
Yeah, suite of things. And then there's DOS and all this other kind of
stuff.
But
it could happen in that way.
Yeah, I mean... It wouldn't be 100%, but certainly if
yes.
someone really wanted to apply all the techniques all one time, it would be a complete disaster. And then there's the power grid. I mean, even like at the community level, the multi-phase wiring, they used to wire transformers in this what's called a delta Y configuration, which keeps your, like if you put your hand on your washer, it's metallic and it's grounded properly. It keeps you separated metallically from your neighborhood's washer and dryers. But then they switched to YY, and that defeated the isolation. So what happened when they did that is, first of all, a lot of transients, a lot of noise into your local power, and even the wiring in your house is now transmitting a whole bunch of transients into your body. But also they made the community susceptible to EMP and all kind of other noise and God knows what, right? So you got to wonder, why did they wire that? Because the traditional electrical engineers would never touch YY. So, I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure it's way worse than we think, Sarah. So I wouldn't, you wouldn't need to take that much down in order to create a big disaster.
They're doing the 5G, right? So that's crazy. But I did a research thing about 4 years ago, and I know that even the intelligence networks were claiming that 99% of our national security, our intelligence networks, our military machines, all that is vulnerable.
That's yeah, even
just
their stuff.
That. Their stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But
yeah,
it's different than having an on-off switch. It's not. It's a simplified. It's an attack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in different countries and have their own hubs and their own fiber, and you know, and then there's like all kind of weird stuff like cutting cable, undersea cables, and you know. But yeah, you're right. There's nobody with this lever, right? You know, off on, it'd be a decentralized thing. There's enough tax surface to create a catastrophe. That's really all I have to say.
Oh, absolutely. With our electric grid, is probably even worse almost, because that fuels all of the internet. You know, you take that down and now you can use the internet for a little bit of time with backup generators, but
it's gotten worse, and unfortunately it looks like it's either really stupid or intentional. So
I love the fact that you're just honest. You know, the smarter, the more you research stuff, the more you realize you're like, oh my God, what the heck is going on?
It's too stupid to be stupid.
My point.
There is always
that incompetent.
Yeah, there's always some of those, just pure greed and incompetence and not caring. Right? There's gonna always be that. And actually, that's probably an important part of the intentional equation, is you have to have some of that too. You need to have enough people running around that just want to make a buck, that don't really care or don't know or want to look the other way.
They'll do your stuff for you. They're the idiots. Like, they're the patsies that can do the stuff for you, and then you just blame them for everything because they're greedy and stupid.
Yeah, like if you look at the Mike Adams recent video, documentary BioSludged, which just came out a day or two ago. I mean, if you ever thought you knew how bad the world was, and then you haven't yet until you've seen BioSludge. It's one of probably the most important documentaries ever made. You just think, oh my God, it's worse than I even thought, man. People have taken the effluent from sewage, and then the only treatment they do is they stream out the kind of the water from the solids, right? And of course, there's all the pharmaceuticals and chemicals that get dumped down the toilet, and then some areas the industry is forced to dump their toxins into the sewage stream. So you have thousands of chemicals, And then what do? They process them and then they sell them at like Home Depot as a, you know, like green fertilizer for your garden. You know, meanwhile, there's just, wait till you see the lab results. I don't want to spoil the documentary, but it's not good.
What's I gotta being watch that. There. What's the name like of it again?
Biosludged with a D on the end.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Brighteon.com. That's his YouTube replacement, you know, for truth teller people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, there's the 5G thing. Like you couldn't roll out 5G unless you had people that don't know or don't care. Or,
well, and that, I don't know if you've seen my last show with Mark Steele. It's a landmark case, the first in the world suing 5G, or it's a 5G case. Right. And they rolled it out in a borough in England, and there has been babies that have died in the womb, and cancer, and bloody noses, and all sorts of crap. And he's like, this is a flipping weapon system, and he right. explains it. And his background is such that he worked on military weapon systems and things, and he knows what this is about. And he's come to the conclusion that the people who are doing it are just clueless. They're not necessarily doing it because they're evil. They just don't get it. Oh, and yeah. there's somebody else above that does, right. but these are just right. useful idiots.
Yeah, like the politicians, you know, it's the next... There's 3G and 4G. Of course, we're going to 5G. We got to have 5G before the next city. And that's the level. That's it. There's something, there's a couple things to know about, and these are all just from public things. Certainly nothing to do with my past employment. But a couple things to know about 5G and just in general cell phones. I don't know if you've had on, you know, these points on your show before. One is the antennas for 5G. So have you heard the term, phased array in any of your guests yet?
Yes. Mark okay. has talked about it. It's, but we haven't really gone into it in deep.
Okay. So let me just give a little overview here. So if you hear planar, that might be like a 2D phased array, or just phased array might be a linear. It's just you could picture a whole bunch of little antennas. And with a bunch of antennas sending signal through with the right phase and amplitude, you can create a beam pattern. So most the absorption, you hear SAR ratings, S-A-R, the absorption. This is complete crock in cell phones. You know, that's like, oh, the SAR rating is safe, whatever. Well, if you have an antenna and it has a spherical antenna pattern, which is the most simple way to think of it, it's like a bubble, right? You know, you could figure out the energy density at any one point, how much is going through your head, what's absorbed. Well, phased array changes things around. A phased array creates a beam pattern, which could, the good side would be it could make it more efficient, less battery, because your cell phone can, like if, for example, if it knows where the tower is, you can make a beam pattern go toward the tower. So instead of, you know, sending signal where it doesn't belong, you'll just send it to the tower. But here's a problem. That beam pattern could be going through your eyes or your head.
Well, and that's the problem. It's a directed beam instead of,
exactly.
and that's yeah. the whole problem with it. And Mark explains that yeah. in detail. He just doesn't use that word all the time. I mean, he does, but not, you know.
There's the directed part, which will send more energy in a more dense pattern. But there's something else to understand is that, like if I take two or three stones and I throw them into a pool, you'll see the wave patterns. And when they intersect, you notice that they go really high for a moment and like maybe really low. Well, that's another problem, is that if you look at the pattern that comes from a phased array, you'll notice that there are some real low areas, like zero in terms of power, and then there's some real high areas. And if that high area happens to be like in your eye or your brain, and it probably will be if you look at the ripple and how they intersect, you can have like sort of standing wave patterns. They could be giving an area of your brain or your eye 100 times the power that something else is receiving. So,
thus you know, the cancer, thus oh, the man. Babies dying, thus the
well,
bloody
amplified,
noses.
Amplified. And then another problem is that there's research been going on for a while that, people think, well, this is a field strength is safe. Well, just think about the field strength of your cells. It's really low, right? Just an individual cell. Sometimes when you get down to really low power levels and you're at around the field strength of the cell, really bad things happen that are worse than when the power level is even higher.
Why? Now that I haven't heard.
I'll send you a link so that
okay.
you can, you know, attach it to this video, or whatever, if you want. I'm trying to think of the doctor's name, Leif, L-E-I-F, and I'll think I'll Salford, S-A-L-F-O-R-D, Leif Salford, would be a good place to start. And so, you know, you don't hear about these kind of studies that, you know, even really low field strengths could be really bad. And what happens is, it's, you know, the blood-brain barrier, essentially. You have it in your brain, you have it in your reproductive tract organs and whatnot. What happens is when they get the EMF hitting a certain field strength, they essentially start leaking. And then all of a sudden toxins and, you know, parasites or whatever can enter the brain or, you know, your reproductive organs or probably other, just your body in general. And you essentially have, you know, we hear a leaky gut in terms of your microbiome. Well, by microbiome, you have leaky brain. Literally, the thing is switching on the leaking of your blood-brain barrier.
It's not funny. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, it's not. But I mean, essentially, these things are not safe. And then 5G comes along, and 5G is it's a big spectrum of frequencies. So it could be anywhere.
It's a cluster. Well, okay, now let me ask you. Go ahead.
I mean, there's fake 5G, like people bond 4G channels together to kind of, you know, when the 5G is not rolled out. And 5G is like a big bucket of things. And then there's pulsed, like Bluetooth. You know, they always say, oh, the Bluetooth, really low power, right? Which, as I just mentioned, is not good anyway. But it's a pulsed energy. So, like, if I said the average energy that I'm going to tap you in the head with is just a nice small rubber mallet, or the average energy, but here's how it's going to happen. I'm going to take a sledgehammer and whack you in the head once a day, but the rest of the day I'm not going to whack you on the head. The average energy is just the rubber mallet, right? Well, that doesn't really work out that way. If you have a pulsed energy just pulsing through your cells, you know, just violently disrupting your cells and then nothing, well, that's not good. So there's a whole lot of reasons why none of this stuff is any good.
Oh, geez. Okay, so now what's going on? Let's start connecting some dots because, I mean, what the hell? I mean, why are we ignoring some of these things that are so destructive to the human body? I mean, what is going on? I mean, that's why people get to a point where they think there's depopulation agenda and everything else, because why in the hell would we do this?
You know, the point that I mentioned that it requires AI to manage this amount of information. Well, it requires an extremely macro brain and someone who spends a huge amount of time doing what you do or what I do to understand it. So if you're a politician or a business person, it's highly likely that you don't have it.
We just have a bunch of, I mean, let's face it, they're not competent to run this high-tech world. Right. And we need to, and it's not, because we have to be careful because we don't want technocracy by getting engineers and macro-type thinkers. That's not what we want to usher in. But we need to understand so that we're not being snowed, because this is dangerous. Now, you gotta admit that the people who are really putting this stuff out get what they're doing. I mean, right? I mean, or are they ignorant too and they're just so excited about the money?
Well, if you're a company and you do wireless radios and antennas, you could be a worker or even an exec in there. Really not have an idea, because it's just like you had 3G and 4G and 5G. As long as some standards body is approving it, they've done their job. Your job thereafter is to make profit. So they might not go looking even or care or whatever. So it's just that layering problem of people. Someone's rolling out kind of understands the potential of all this sort of stuff. And of course, you know, even Wi-Fi, right? This technology that if you have Wi-Fi in your house, they can kind of see what's going on in your house because the Wi-Fi lights it up, and there's technology to sort of like X-raying your house, you know? It's all kind of privacy stuff like that.
Some people think that we just have to have a disaster, a lot of people dying, a lot more can't. I mean, it has to really get bad before people wake up.
That's one way. I'm hoping not. I'd rather go a different way, but that does seem to be human nature to have a catastrophe before people, you know, get that we need to look at other things. Here's a thought that I keep having, which is, this is going to go back, but so we had the Constitution, and you can, you know, it has so many holes in it, you can drive a truck through. So we had to have the Bill of Rights, which was probably a pretty good idea at the time. But then along comes the digital age. We absolutely need a Bill of Rights because there's enormous truck size holes that we can drive, you know, industry through in the digital
shadow
age.
Banning truth tellers, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Encryption, ID, identification, which I want to talk about how a positive outcome in the blockchain and ID space. But there's a lot of things that, privacy, mobility of data. So if I have something in my house, then there's like search and seizure type, whatever's remaining of that, and kangaroo courts to get access to it. But whatever we had there, you know, like if I put my data on an internet provider, oh my God, you know, I can have access to it. Well, why, right? We need portability of our, you know, like I just call it data portability or privacy portability. And that, you know, goes to encryption as well, which is Australia pretty much just backdoored everything in encryption. I don't know if you heard that. People need to think about it, like what happened when the Bill of Rights happened and why it happened, but in the digital age, and just put all that shadow banning and everything in like a new digital Bill of Rights. And
well, you know what they're doing, which is, and I knew about this like 5 years ago, I covered it when I first started. I said, I've been doing this on the internet and YouTube for a couple years and then just audio for 3 years before that. But I covered some of the stuff they're doing where they're routing the network data out of our country through anywhere else, you know, mm-hmm. Panama or wherever right. they're routing it through. And as soon as it leaves our country, they have full access to it and they can follow the law and then they route it back.
Yeah. Well, they do that with spying, right? The countries have reciprocal agreements with each other to spy on the other country's citizens. And then it's not, you know.
Yeah. They spy on us. We spy on them. And then we give them that data. And then it's not.
Scam.
Yeah.
Here's my overarching observation. If they can, they will. So the only way to prevent bad stuff is to make sure they can't.
And who are the biggest culprits at this point? The government? The cabal? I mean, it's like we have a mob cabal that's running everything and we are doing what... That's why I don't like big governments, because now we got this big ruling cabal that is a government and they're protected by the government and we're screwed pretty much. How do we deal with that?
Well, besides the Digital Bill of Rights and the GitHub for lawmaking, here's something that's a positive in the identification space. So what the establishment would like, by contrast, is what I call centralized ID. And as they administer the ID and it's just pure access to it and, you know, you just open book essentially to them. But the centralized ID, which is even a W3C, that's the web body, web standards body, it's a standard. So, I mean, there's no reason not to have it. Here's the way it works. You start with an official government ID to make sure we know who you are, and then you onboard into this decentralized ID system. And thereafter, whatever digital relationship you have, so just to give an example, like let's say I was going to buy a bottle of booze online, some online retailer for booze, and I need to prove that, you know, I'm of a certain age, right? That's a digital relationship there. They don't need to know like all this stuff about me, right? To prove who I am, they just need to know I can prove that I'm like a citizen or whatever, and I'm a certain age. Well, I can do that through this. I can control that relationship, and they get nothing else. They don't even need to know what age I am. They just need to know I can prove I'm above 21 or what have you.
Sure. Excellent.
Right? So we can do that with the centralized ID. So you take back the sovereignty of your digital relationships, every single, like with Amazon's a different one, with the post office or buying an e-tailer, you know, if you get a license or something, every single thing you can control down to the minimum of transaction that's needed for the transaction. And this would have to go into the Bill of Rights that we demand that we have access to the centralized ID so that we control our identification. Because if you think about it, like you go apply for a mortgage or loan, they want all this gobbledygook about everything, right?
Yeah, what's it to you? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so much superfluous stuff that's being just dumped, into everybody's file storage cabinet that you don't control. But we can take that back with decentralized ID. I think it's one of the most important technologies we have in blockchain and even in the internet space today is decentralized ID.
Well, let's talk about Bill Binney, because he was saying with NSA, they could essentially do a lot of that with metadata and not spy on everything that we're doing, right? And it's not the exact same concept technology-wise as this, but he's essentially saying we can do metadata and not know the details of you. We just know specific things that are important. And as long as you cross that threshold, then we'll go into that data, right?
Right. Yeah, I got it. It's got there's an analog there, to some extent.
And he has this whole thing written, but they don't care. They could have done that years ago, and they won't do it. So now, do you think they'll ever do that with this? I mean, do we just have to have a groundswell of enough people saying, BS, you have to do this. The Bill of Rights, you think that will get it going?
If I had to guess, I would say that some smaller country that's a little bit more off the reservation is going to do these things that I'm saying first, like a digital Bill of Rights, essentially a mandate for decentralized ID, all these goodies, right? They'll be done by some other country that's not so, the US is so damn controlled. It'll probably happen somewhere else, and then that may create a groundswell that will kind of feed back here. I mean, I would rather do it here. Who's going to start it in government? I don't know. I mean, even like for the crowdfunding regulatory changes that happened that even I was a part of, at the time we had the as much as I'm not big on all these agencies, but the White House had the Office of Science and Tech. And I think that was eliminated when Trump rolled in as part of, I'm not saying good or bad, it's just trying to, eliminate a lot of government. It's kind of too bad because there just needs to be some champion who's essentially like looking at all these issues going forward and essentially growing the seed for them, getting the whole ball rolling.
Yeah, they don't get it. Well, exactly. Well, in medicine, we've come to the point where all advancements in medicine have to happen elsewhere. I mean, literally. I mean, the people in medicine will claim up and down. Some people will say, no, that's not true. But the people in advanced medicine, they all say the same thing. They cannot get patents through and with humans. They can do it on animals or other things. But to actually really get it going, it's much easier out of the country.
Yeah, well, in general, everything destructive is profitable for the kind of capitalism we have today. So, that includes, good health isn't very profitable for healthcare. So it's not surprising. It's medical tourism, is a reason for that.
Well, but what? I don't want to give up on the United States. I think what happens is enough of these people, medicine, medical tourism, all these, it's giving opportunities to all these other countries to make money because it's crappy here. So people leave to get their medicine. They leave to get, they leave to get, they'll eventually leave when it comes to, if you do the ID thing, just to have freedom, they'll have to leave. But enough people leave and all the brains and the best and the brightest leave this country, they're going to have to wake up.
Yeah, I still hold out hope myself. I mean, because the thing is that really complicated systems have a way of going nonlinear really fast, and we have an extremely complicated system in a complicated country. So there's sort of the barbell strategy of investing. Things kind of happen on different ends of the spectrum. Here would be maybe a small country might do a digital bill of rights and some of these things we're talking about, and maybe the U.S. will go nonlinear and things will happen here too. Sort of two approaches that might happen. I'd like to see both of them happen at the same time. That'd be great. Actually, just be great to happen all over the place, because without a digital bill of rights, it's not even worth considering.
It's total chaos. I agree with you.
And the sad thing is, the world's left to essentially listening to the thoughts of Elon Musk and people like that to kind of tell us about AI and concerns we have. There's no leadership, and this really should be somebody embedded in the White House who's just a serious macro brain that doesn't mind going,
Well, they have everything else, right? They have they have the Federal Reserve, and they have, which I have issues with, and so does most people. But they have all these other areas, the energy and. But they haven't figured out that technology is running our entire, companies have, they have the CIOs and things, but they haven't figured out that this is kind of the whole future, guys. Well, they probably have, but they just aren't doing it. Maybe they don't want to because they can, as soon as somebody gets in there, it'll mess up that industry.
Yeah, well, interposing in the ability to have, as I mentioned, the evolution of this thing is like digitizing everything and, having essentially, you have everybody identified, If everybody, everything, you know, like even a piece of land, we'll get it. We can get it security tokens if you want, but essentially, that market's worth trillions.
Who's leading the digitizing of everything on a blockchain? Because that's not in who's leading that?
Well, appears to be a transnational effort. I'll leave it at that. You have a lot of guests. You can I'll let your guests go into that one. It's not government, yeah.
It's not government. It's the power brokers.
Sure, same people. And managing the earth for thousands of years. So, I think that's kind of how things roll down, and then you have governments and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I know. Well, we could talk forever, and I'm going to have you back on a regular basis because this is absolutely great. If you don't mind coming back on a regular basis, and start educating people and connecting the dots on all these things and having a really good conversation about technology and how it's all related, because I think we have a lot more to dive into, and AI and how it's related to blockchain and how all this stuff.
The Fed's doing with coins and, you know, crypto.
Yeah, putting that all together for people. Yeah. Let's have you back soon. And will you stick around for my Patreons?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anytime. As much as you want.